Hi everybody, and welcome to Mindlessful. On this episode, I have the most beautiful and amazing Margaret Meehan. And I actually had to nearly check myself because I always call you Margaret Moon. That's like my little thing. I'm like Margaret Moon, but Margaret Meehan from Moon Queen Healing. And I suppose I believe this episode and us having this chat is extremely divinely guided. Last week I recorded two episodes and I was out walking in nature and I asked my spirit team, my angels, and I said, who else needs to be on the podcast? And straight away this beautiful lady came into my mind. And I actually had to send her a voice message, but at the same time in her world she had got the same message and she had seen that I had posted something and something came into her awareness. I'm going to come on and speak. I'm ready to share some of my magic. So thank you so much, Margaret, for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for holding the space and inviting me on. It's a pleasure to be talking to you today.
And I think you felt the same, like you got the same message as me that
Yeah,
it was
because
like.
we had spoken before about doing the podcast and like maybe a year ago, and we always said, oh, when it's meant to happen. And then I don't know what it was that day, but I just remember saying, yeah, I'm ready to talk to Kira now. And literally, my phone beeped 5 minutes later with a voice memo from you that you must have started recording when I had that thought. And immediately I was like, this is about the podcast. So I was like, I'm just going to trust that we're meant to speak now at this time, and whatever's meant to be shared will be shared.
And I think it's so important we share even them little snippets of, things that happen, I suppose, behind the scenes, because we are so supported. And when we listen to that, if I didn't listen to that or you didn't listen to that, we wouldn't be here today.
But that's it, and it's just leaning into that. Like, it's those little signs, and people have learned to dismiss that, and it's so lovely because they're the moments where you get that, oh my God, or the little tingle and go, that's the universe sending you those little, just those little lightning rods that, yeah, everything is working out, and we should listen to them more. So I love when stuff like that happens, I love when two people align like that and we're just like, oh my God, yeah, I felt that too, or you did. I think it's amazing, and we should really lean into that feeling and that gut feeling and intuition.
Oh, definitely. And we've actually never met in person, but I
No.
actually feel like I have met you in person.
I know, and we've spoken a lot and shared a lot. And I was only thinking that because sometimes I do have to think, have we met in person? And I have to go back and think, no, we haven't. But it feels like we probably have in another lifetime, I guess. But yeah, it's amazing the connections that you can make in this world.
And I suppose I have this saying that I say to lots of people, and I'd be like, they know the crack. And anyone who's listening here who's heard me say that, it's like I was trying to explain to someone yesterday, it's like, like I know we're part of something bigger that we've placed within us that has everything that knows we're enough. Now it's hard to live your life fully from there. But there's a resonance that we both know the crack.
I actually say to people, I'm like, I know you'll get this. I'm like, I know you'll get this. I won't have to explain too much. So I love that because we do just get it, it just makes sense to us.
And you are just some amazing lady. I know you've had a mad journey in this journey of life so far, and I suppose that's why I was so excited to have you on here, because it's through the trials and the hardships that I suppose we can gain so much wisdom and so much insight. And you've a beautiful little boy, don't you,
Do,
Sean?
Sean, yeah, the apple of my eye.
Oh,
He's such a gift. Yeah, I love him so much.
yeah. And he was like an absolute miracle in your world.
Oh, really was, and like just touches so many people's hearts. He's really powerful too. He's Oh, I could spend a whole podcast just talking about him, but he's a great little man. Like he's a little boy as well. He's mischievous and fun and crazy at times, but he's a gorgeous little soul. And anyone that meets him or knows him, feels that too. He's a real gift to everyone.
Amazing. Because I know you do meditation, reflexology, Reiki, you teach it as well, don't you?
I do, yeah. I love the Reiki. I mean, I've done so many courses, but they're the main ones. And I've done a lot of womb healing, and I'm doing sound healing now and life coaching. But it like a lot of it is self-development. I think a lot of people that are in this world do a lot of courses to develop themselves and just find a way to blend it all into some sort of unique offering that they can bring to their little corner of the world. And that's what I like to do. I'm a constant learner because I love to understand how to help balance all of the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual sides of every soul.
And I suppose you can do all the courses in the world, but life is the best teacher in this world, and most definitely.
100%.
And there's lots of people, I suppose, in the wellness world and the holistic world at the minute. And I suppose a lot of us have gone through, massive kind of hardships in order to kind of catapult us on that path. Was there like something for you that kind of put you on this path, or where does
Yeah,
it
I
all
think
begin for you?
we're back to the beginning. I suppose in general, I was always very open, even as a child. I'm the youngest of five, and I always remember, little things happening and just thinking everyone felt the same, really strong presence of angels and things like that. And so I always was very open to that world. And as a child growing up hearing stories about fairies and folklore and stuff, it was always spoken about in our home. So there was a good awareness. But I think really there's a few things. Initially, I lost my dad when I was 17, and that was a really tough time for our family because at that age you don't really expect, you don't really expect to lose a parent. They're invincible to you. So that was a really, a really traumatic time, I suppose, in my life. And I remember going like from a child to an adult overnight, really. And I had just turned 17 and I was doing my leaving cert. And there was this kind of search then for God, what happens after you pass away and things like that. So I've always felt my dad around me from the moment he passed. Just before he passed, I remember something happening in my house where I knew instinctively, and I had this vision of my brother coming in to tell me, and that happened, like literally that played out half an hour later. So there was all, that's what I mean by saying there was always that kind of connection to spirituality and like an inner knowing and that. So that really was a key point in my life. And from that point then I was open to, always wanting to make sure he was okay. And I used to dream about my dad, and I really tapped into angels then. But then life got in the way. I had to go to college, and in your 20s, you're just, you're living life and having a great time and things. So I was always very aware of it, and still, I'd always have my angel cards and be looking for support and help from whoever, always just my angels and whoever that was. But I think then really when I hit my 30s, I really got very, I suppose, in touch with my awareness about it. I think I was a bit blind going through life in my 20s, like we all are. But then my awareness really stepped up. And like I'm 38 now, so probably late 20s, early 30s. And around that time, I was getting engaged and things like that. And I was working in a really, really high power job in corporate banking. And I suppose I had this, God, there has to be a bit more to life, you know, and I went through my 20s kind of doing everything that you're meant to do. Like, you're meant to go to college, then you get the good job, then you buy the house, then you do, you know, and then I think I sat back and I went, actually, what do I really like to do? Because I was good at my job, I could do it well, I was really successful in my career, but I really didn't enjoy it at all, you know. And I was becoming really stressed out because my job was in corporate banking and there was a lot of pressure. And I was always somebody that was rolled out to speak on behalf of the company I worked for, and there was a lot of pressure that came with that. So I started to look at ways to help manage stress, help find a balance. And that led me, I suppose, to meeting my first teacher who taught me Reiki. Yeah. And it really started from there. So it was just, I had this pull to find out more about my body. And I was suffering a lot with my throat at the time.
Yeah.
And I was going to all these, you know, my doctor was sending me to these specialists, and it turned out my throat chakra was totally blocked. And anyone that works in a
so
yours is becoming blocked as we talk.
This is all energy. This is good.
I know, I was the same before we came on, but anyone that works in energy knows, like, the energy systems in the body. And for me, my throat has always been the one that was really blocked. And it was because I wasn't speaking my truth. I wasn't really thinking about what I wanted to do. I was always people pleasing and doing what my managers and work wanted me to do, or my friends wanted to do, or my partner wanted to do. Anyway, so I started to delve into that. And once I did, once I kind of opened that doorway, it was just like, oh, this makes sense to me. And having spent a lot of my life feeling I was different to everyone and almost being like annoyed with myself that I couldn't be like everyone else, then I realized, okay, actually, this being different isn't a bad thing. And it was really just putting a magnifying glass on myself. Instead of looking at what everyone else was doing and what they were expecting of me, I sat back and I thought, what do I want to do? What brings me joy? And what makes me feel good? And it was delving into that whole energy work, connecting in with my angels and my guides, and just finding, you know, my purpose. And then that was great. And I was like, this is wonderful. And I was getting married at the time. And then I really wanted to start a family. And that was something I always wanted, was to have a child, have a family. And it was something that was a struggle for me. And, you know, I found it hard to conceive. And I lost a pregnancy as well. And that really threw me into my faith and spirituality even more. And I had this good feeling that I would struggle to have a baby initially. So that was always there. And that led me down to do the womb work. Then I did a lot of inner healing on myself, looking into, because on paper, everything was fine.
Yeah.
And I knew then there was an energetic block, and I was trying to understand, and there was lots of factors. There was, you know, energy blocks, there was stress that I was under. I wasn't, I suppose, in a great place in terms of the way I was working. You know, I was getting a train to Dublin at like 5 in the morning. I was going into meetings and just like having to read 200 page documents and present them within an hour, and, you know, all this kind of high pressured stuff. My body was under such pressure, and it was understanding, number one, the impact of that, and then on an energetic level as well, what that would mean. So that led me down to do lots of courses on the womb healing, fertility. That led me into reflexology. So reflexology came to me at that time as such a gift, because I started to get reflexology and see the benefits of it, and then it led me to study it myself, you know, and it prepared me for my journey with IVF. So I did then have to embark on an IVF journey, and I think anyone that's been on a journey to conceive, whether you've had to do IVF or not, I think wanting something so badly that comes or appears to come so easily for others is just devastating, you know, on you, because you look around and all you can see when you're trying to have a baby is everyone else having babies, everyone else's life moving on, and you're sitting there going, I'm trying so hard, but it's not working for me. And that's, I suppose, something that you have to juggle with in your mind, and you have to find a way to deal with that disappointment and that pain and that, I suppose, wondering what the next move is. And that really threw me then into this work. And I do believe that that part of my story played out so that I can help other people in that situation. And that's a lot of the work that I do, is with people who are trying to conceive, or are not necessarily a baby, but maybe just in a place in their life that they just don't know what the answer is, and they need somebody to help them find a way out of it. And it's not that I have the answers, but I like to hold up a mirror and, you know, let them really look at themselves and look within themselves to see what it is that they need in order to move on to the next step.
So so powerful. And I suppose, would you believe, like, you know, like, you can learn all the stuff in the courses, but having gone through, you know, like everything that you've just spoke about, someone being the other side of, you know, in your space, the hope that it gives them can be healing in itself.
Yeah. And I remember clearly at the time trying to find somebody to talk to,
yeah,
that was the same as me, almost, that had the same story or the same path. And like, it can be such a lonely journey, because you have people are amazing, and you'll understand this, Kira, with what you've been through. You can have so much empathy and compassion, but until you're in those shoes, you just can't understand it. And that's not because you don't want to, but like, you just have to experience something to really have a true grasp on it. And I had amazing support from my family, and a handful of really close friends, but they didn't understand it, because that desire to want something and just have absolutely no control over it is so hard, you know. And people will, with the best of intentions, they'll have all these amazing suggestions and you're like, oh, stop, you know. So I think having somebody that has been through it and can understand it, and I suppose just sit and listen to you. Like, I used to find I didn't need anyone to give me the answers. I just wanted someone to listen to me and let me just speak freely about things that were, you know, a big concern. Because there was a time where I really was thinking, well, maybe I'm just not going to be a mother. And I needed to voice that and to let my fears come up and have them heard, without somebody with the best of intentions saying to me, no, it will, you know, blah, blah. Because some, you know, I've been very lucky. I'm sitting here with a gorgeous little boy, and I'm blessed that I have another baby on the way. But there's some people that it doesn't work out for, and that have put their heart, their soul, their money, and it just doesn't. And I needed to be able to voice that. I could have been one of those people that it didn't work out for. And I needed to figure out a way to make peace with that as well.
Yeah.
And I think with any situation, I think people need to be able to voice that fear and make peace with it. And for me, that really helped me move forward, because up until then, you know, you're just people are so good intentions and everything, but you need to be able to voice the fear and let it go. And that's really powerful. But yeah, I did find, you know, just being, and now being on the other side of it, being able to support people in that position. And also, you know, one of the things as well with IVF is, and I'm very lucky, I understand how lucky I am to be a mother. But when you've been through, like, my journey was almost 5 years to have my son. And I went through, so financially, it's a huge impact.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, physically, you know, you're being prodded and poked and all these different things are being done to you. And then in general, like, you think of having a baby and you think, oh my God, we did the pregnancy test and I'm pregnant, but you take away the spontaneity, the surprise. It's all very clinical. Even the act of having the baby is quite clinical, you know, so there's no fun in it. It's very, you know, it's very scientific, and it's great that we have that.
Yeah.
But there's that to deal with as well. And then, like, physically, the medication really took its toll on me. Every time I did a round, I just react badly to medication.
Yeah.
And I always have a physical issue afterwards, you know. And even after I had Sean, like, my liver was damaged for a while from all of the medication I was on. Now, thankfully, you know, it's corrected itself, but I think that's not understood as well, that, you know, you're dealing with all this stuff and then you have the baby in some cases and you're so lucky, but then there's a physical aspect after. And in my opinion, with a lot of people that do IVF, if you're lucky for it to work, once you have the baby, it's kind of like, well, you've had the baby now and that's it. You should be grateful and end of the story. But often that's when the healing starts, because you're almost holding your breath. Like, I remember going in to have my son and still not believing that I get to take him home.
Wow.
Yeah. And, like, that's still, I still feel that, because it hadn't worked for so long that I spent my whole pregnancy holding my breath. And then even that morning, you know, I remember, are you excited? And I said, I am, but, like, I don't believe it. I don't believe that he's mine, you know.
Yeah.
And that took a while, Ciara, to kick in. And I think, and I'm not saying that's just for people that do IVF, but in my experience, there's a lot of healing that happens afterwards and a lot of support that all new mothers need, not just IVF mothers, but all new mothers or new people who've had another baby. There is a support that's needed after that. Because I did struggle physically.
Yeah.
And I suffered terribly with anxiety in the first, probably the first 8 or 9 months of my son's life, with terrible anxiety, because I just was worried about everything.
Yeah.
I was worried that something would happen to him. Was I doing things the right way? And I suppose naively, even though I'd done all the work and I was so aware, like you said, I'd done all the courses, I've read all the books, I thought when I had my son that the clouds would part and this light would come down and everything would be perfect in the world again. And that's not the reality, you know. And it was a tough lesson to learn, but it was a good one to learn for me. And that's why I feel like I'm so passionate about helping people.
Yeah.
And really, like, and for me, just mothers, you know, women, mothers, people that are struggling, because we need to look after those ladies. Like, we're bringing in, we're bringing in the next generation, you know, and it's a big job. And we need to put our arms around these people and, like, just love them a little bit more and make sure that they're okay, you know.
Yeah.
And that was just, yeah, that was my experience anyway of it. Yeah. So, but it really did lead me on to, again, every time something like that happens in my life, it just leads me in deeper to my spirituality.
Yeah.
And it makes me understand more why I've been called to do this work.
Yeah,
You
and
know.
even listening to you there, to be honest, I knew extremely little about IVF, and I was just, I'm kind of like, oh my, do you know, like listening to you, like there'd be no point me helping someone with that. I don't know, you know, but
yeah.
Even though you're talking about, I was just intentively listening because I was like, oh my goodness, that's a really big thing, and so much support needed.
And it is, and I mean, like, it's so misunderstood, because I think people just think, like, there's so many different types of treatment, there's so many different types of support people might need. You know, they might need donor eggs, they might need donor sperm, they might like their womb mightn't be in the right place. So as well as stimulating their eggs, they're trying to stimulate their womb. There's so many different things. There can be obviously issues on the male side as well, but primarily the woman is the vessel that needs to carry this child. So, you know, she is, on a physical level, she is doing the majority of what's needed. And that's not to take away from what the men do in any aspect, because, you know, in some cases it can be very hard to be the person holding the other person up. But on a physical level, and like, whether, you know, whether it's something a lot of people agree with or not, if you're not physically in the right place, or your body physically is reacting, or you know, you're having, you know, side effects or symptoms, it's very difficult to mentally and emotionally balance, because you have all these physical things happening. And, you know, in my case, you know, I was pumping a lot of drugs into my body. So you're trying to create an artificial environment almost that's not natural. And you have to remember that. And it does have such an impact on your body. And like, it really stayed with me afterwards for a long time. And I had a lot of side effects, you know, up until like Sean was almost a year old, I was still, you know, struggling with the side effects of trying to flush out that medication and the impact it had. And that was I did three rounds. So, you know, there's a lot. And I think that's not really understood. And, you know, I also think there's people that don't need to understand it because they've never been there. So it's not a judgment.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you've never been there. And I've never been in your situation or other people's, but if you do know somebody in that situation, sometimes it's just maybe allowing them to speak. You don't need to have the answers, and you don't always need to understand it, but they just need someone maybe to hold their hand and, like, not even tell them it's going to be okay, because it mightn't be, but just like, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Or what's going to help? What can I do to help? You know, and that was the biggest thing for me, and being, I suppose, being supportive of them. Like, for me, luckily, I was always thrilled when my friends were pregnant. You know, I never came from a place of why them and not me, thankfully, because I still believe that anyone that wants to be a mother should be able to be a mother if it's for the baby's highest good and their highest good. I don't believe anyone needs to struggle the way I did. But at the same time, there did come a time where things like baby showers would have become too much for me. I couldn't go to them.
Yeah.
And some friends understood that and some didn't. And I just had to make peace with the fact that the ones that understand it know why. Because I'd go, Kira, and I would be the best person at that. I would put on the best front. And I would come home and I would physically and emotionally be drained for a week, 2 weeks. I'd be so upset. It just became a bit much for me. So I think you need to support your friends that, you know, if that's what they need to do, or if they're cancelling plans and things like that, you know, because sometimes if you're in the middle of a cycle, you know, the medication can have funny impacts on you. Like, things are happening to your body that you're not sure what's going on. Like, you know, and same with being pregnant. Like, And you just have to, you're just not in the mood for it. And I think it's really important if you're on that journey to honor that and not push yourself outside of those boundaries. And like with any journey or story, not just IVF, honoring where you're at. If you're just not up to something, you're just not up to it. And the right people will understand.
Yeah.
You know, they really will.
Did this might seem like a funny question, but you know, that time in your life, did it nearly kind of clear out some people that maybe you thought, you know, we're great friends, but actually they weren't able to support you? And again, that no judgment, they're doing what they need to do, but that it showed you who was a good support to you and who was, I suppose, going to go forward with you into the next stage of your life.
100%. Like, and I think anyone that has been through anything, and again, Kira, you'll understand this. Sometimes people aren't able for the emotion of it. You know, they're just not. And, you know, thankfully, I'm the sort of person who, I believe people fall away so better people come in.
Yeah.
And now I didn't always feel like that. I used to question it, but you know, in my early 20s, life was about going out, having a good time, you know, the nice holidays and things like that. So there were friends that were just maybe on the surface level. That doesn't mean we didn't have great times and great memories. But the ones that I always think that the true friends are the ones that hear you when you don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
You know, and they're the ones that I haven't heard from you in a few days. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Or I'm just checking in, you know. And I found that, yeah, a lot of people did fall away. And like, I gave up drinking. Not that I mean, I could always take or leave drinks, but to put my body in the best position, I gave up drinking.
Yeah.
I used to light the occasional cigarette back in the day. So gave up all of that.
Yeah.
Really, like, so I wasn't going out the way I would have been, and like I wasn't showing up to things that there was a, you know, our friends would be like, we'll go out for drinks on a Sunday and things like that. I was doing different things. I was going for walks in nature and stuff like that, things that were serving me at the time. So naturally, friends just fell away, you know. And it did, I suppose it did become quite lonely at times in that way. But then I did have really good family support. But my thing was, Kira, I didn't share it initially that I was doing it. So my first cycle, nobody knew, you know. And even with my cycle, even that I had Sean on, like, not everybody knew either. And that was just because there was lots of reasons, but like, you know, my husband at the time, you know, he found it difficult to share that story. So I respected where he was at. Whereas I'm an open book, you know. I feel for me to share it helps you know, release a bit of the burden. But I respected that, you know, he was still coming to terms with what we were having to do. And there's that element as well. So, you know, but friends did, yeah. But then I made some of the best connections through this journey. And like the womb work that I did at the time, I was doing a course on womb healing. And I did fertility massage, and I don't practice fertility massage. This is what I mean about saying we do these courses.
Yeah.
But I did that to understand how to do it myself.
Okay.
And what actually was happening inside my body, and how I could support it with the medication and things like that, because there's all that science side of it. Now, I love a good bit of logic and science as well. I'm a real, like, I like to understand the body too. And you know, I like to marry the energy with the science, you know. I love to put them together. So I did that at the time, and that really helped, you know, having that understanding. And you know, it's pushed me forward to be able to help other people in that situation. And for me as well, I think the way I'm meant to teach and the way I'm meant to help people, I think the universe puts me in places and situations to learn. So I used to be thinking, why is this happening to me? You know, I'm always trying to do good, you know, but now I'm like, what is this trying to tell me? You know, what is the universe trying to tell me? And when I've started doing that, it doesn't mean that my life is perfect.
No.
It doesn't mean that the shit doesn't hit the fan. But my outlook is different. And I will say, okay, what do, because you know, Keir, life is life. You know, we all, this is the way I live my life with love and gratitude. But things still happen. So I'm always trying to understand, well, why are they happening and how can I learn from it? You know, and that's really the way I try and live my life. And I think the universe puts me in these situations so I can experience it, because I think you have to experience these things to understand. You know, the grief work you do, Kira, like you help so many people, and you really, you know, haven't experienced that. You can really, you know, relate and identify with people that you're helping. And that's the same with me, because I've been in those situations.
Yeah, totally. And it's so funny, that's the only question that keeps coming up to ask people. Do you believe, like, would you have chosen any of that to go differently in your life?
No, and it's so funny, right? Because so many people have asked me this lately.
Yeah.
And because my pregnancy now is a natural pregnancy.
Yeah.
And I'm so like, I can't, on one, okay, and you'll get this. We talked about this earlier. You'll get this. On one hand, I cannot believe my luck. But on the other hand, my dad came to me in a meditation and told me that I'd have two babies.
Okay. Wow.
And he told me gender and everything. So I knew this was going to happen, but I'm still pinching myself at how lucky that I've been.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't change a thing. I really wouldn't. And people, like, I mean, there's other things that have happened in my life, and people really say to me, you know, how would you not have preferred it to be this way or that way? But I wouldn't be the person that I am right now sitting here if any part of that was different. The good, the bad, the ugly, the tears, the joy, everything. And I'm definitely not perfect.
Yeah.
But I've learned so much along the way. And I think all of those experiences, I mean, we've all made mistakes. But I really feel that, especially in the last few years, that I'm really comfortable in my skin. And I'm really grateful for what I've been through, because it's brought me to where I am and how I live my life. And, you know, I, as I said to you, I was always into this kind of, you know, spirituality, angels, energy healing. But I used to go in and out of it. You know, I'd be like, things are hard, pick an angel card for a week every day. Things are great. The packs in the drawer for 2 months, it comes out again. You know, that was, you know, my 20s. But now I live it all the time.
Yeah.
When it's good, when it's bad. When it's good, especially, because when it's good, you can kind of be like, things are grand now.
Yeah.
But I still do my gratitude. I do my journaling. I do my angel cards. Jesus, the house is full of incense. Everything, you know, I'm protecting everyone. I'm a big lover of Archangel Michael. I know you are too. I know I have him overworked. I'm sending him to everyone, mind and everyone. But I believe that living my life now every day like that allows me to deal with the good and the bad. And like, there's still things that happen in my life that are traumatic, and then there's things that are amazing. But I just live in that space all the time. And like, I always talk about leading with love. And somebody said to me recently, you know, different things that have gone on, and they're like, how, like, why wouldn't you just do this? Or, you know, but that's alien to me, to be bitter or angry. I just can't identify with that. You know, and that doesn't mean that I don't initially get maybe annoyed over something, but it passes really quickly, and I move into the space of, you know, I let the emotions rise up and then they pass. And I just try and see it from, you know, a different point of view. Like, myself and my husband separated not long after our son was born. And, you know, I don't have anything but compassion for him.
That's
You
so
know, he's a good person and he's a great dad. And it just didn't work out. And I think sometimes people are in your life for a season, and then they're in it for a lifetime, or they're in it for a particular lesson. And that time wasn't easy for either of us, you know, and we shared a nice life and we had a lovely son. And sometimes things just don't work out. And I couldn't stay in a place of anger or bitterness. It's just not in me, you know, and I don't. You know, I just can't do it. And I think people sometimes struggle with that because they can't, you know, they can't. But I think, and we hear this all the time, but I do think like hurt people hurt. So I try not to fall into the victim mode. You know, that's not to say like sometimes, look, I'm human, but it might happen for a day or two. But if I feel myself staying there any longer, I'm like, okay, I need to do something because that's not a place that I want to be in. I don't want to be dwelling in that low vibration, you know. Or if it's, you know, if we've fallen out, Kira, which would never happen, you know, I get on the phone to him like, come on, you know, we need to sort this out. Or if I'm really like, I still would get anxious. I'm a natural worrier. I can't seem to get rid of that. But if I'm particularly like, okay, it might be worried for a day or two. That's normal. Something's coming up. You know, that's a natural emotion. But if I'm dwelling there for a long time, that's when I need to look and say, okay, why am I staying here? Why am I staying in this emotion too long? And what can I do? Like, the best people to help ourselves is ourselves. You know, we really need to, you know, we can, a lot of people, I think, are reliant on other people. And people are great, but you really have to try and pull yourself out of these places too. And that's just the way I lead my life. And it doesn't mean that it's not always straightforward. But yeah, I try not to dwell too long, because my favorite saying ever is, "This too shall pass."
This too shall pass, love. Yeah,
you know,
and it
and
will.
I know everyone knows it, but it's so true, because you know you're in a really bad situation, it'll pass. You know, you're in a really magical moment in your life, that's going to pass too. You know, life keeps going. Time is ticking on. And I just try and be present and like enjoy the good times. And like when it's the bad times, just be like, okay, this is going to pass. Okay, it's tough now, but it's going to pass. And I just always, that's my mantra. And if I'm going to bed at night and I'm like in my head, I'm doing my affirmations. I know you love the affirmations too, but like I'll be doing them in my head, you know. Or if it's like, if I'm really sick or something, like going to sleep, I'll be like, my body is healthy, I am happy, everything is going to be okay. I'll use my affirmations until, you know, until it does pass. And it always passes, the good and the bad.
And bringing yourself back. And I think that's so powerful. Like everything you shared, I'm just here nodding, going, oh my God, bringing yourself back. What is this trying to teach me? What can I learn? Because we came here to feel every single emotion. And what you shared was so powerful that, you know, and sometimes when you're more sensitive, when it feels good, it feels amazing. But when you're in fear or whatever, it can feel even bigger. Do you know? But it's because
that's it. Yeah. And like, it is that. Yeah. And like now, like I think time as well, Kira, is a great, you know, gives you good perspective. Now looking back, I was going to say on my life, I'm only 38, but I can see now why those things have happened. And I can see where it's brought me, and the, you know, I can see the gifts and even the hard times and what they have given me in terms of like a direction into the energy healing and like ultimately I just want to help people. You know, so whether you're doing energy work or you're making someone a dinner and dropping it around to them, or just seeing your neighbor out in the road and giving them a hug, you're just helping. And that's what I want to do. And the way I help is through energy, emotions, you know, love. That's just how I do it. And everyone is different, but that's all we're trying to do. And now perspective and time have shown me that a lot of the things that are happening to me are happening for a reason. And now I understand that. Doesn't mean I'm always thrilled about it.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't mean my patience is like, oh goodness, but I thankfully I don't dwell too long in it. And I can see that it's trying to teach me something. And I listen, you know, I sit back and I listen and I do the work and meditation. And for me, meditation isn't always just sitting there. People have this misconception that you just sit there and you're chanting and stuff. And I love that type of meditation. Yeah. But for me, it's just, there's a forest near me. Mm-hmm. And it's where I've gone since I was a child, when I've been at my happiest, when I've been at my lowest, when I've had all the answers and when I've had no answers. And that's my biggest meditation, is walking through that forest and just not listening to music, not having anyone with me, and just allowing my gut and my inner voice to speak to me. And that's sometimes the meditation that I need. And it's about just allowing yourself the time to listen to what you actually want. Because, you know, I love podcasts. You know this. You know, I'm always listening. You've got me into YouTube. I love books. I'm always like, love books and everything. But sometimes we need to just put everything away.
Yeah.
And just allow our own voice to come up to the surface.
Yeah, I was having some mad thoughts in the last few weeks, and especially about, I suppose, my relationship with even social media and Instagram and whatever. And I was like, oh my God, is it? I know we can connect, and like, I'm so grateful, you know, I've got to connect with you and lots of different people. But in another way, it's really disconnecting us more and more and more. So I'm trying to be very mindful of, you know, like that, getting out in nature. You know, the more you connect there, you know, this can be a really powerful tool. But I think, do you know, there's definitely a thing in a generation where we're missing that connection piece with ourselves and others. And we, you know, if we can spend half an hour scrolling on Instagram, we can spend 10 minutes sitting.
Yeah.
With our,
and I think I totally agree with you. And I think it's both a blessing and a curse. Yeah. We've grown up, like, we've literally grown up where technology has been booming, and every year there's a new development. Like, it was the internet, and then it was, you know, like phones. You know, like, I think phones only came out like when I was in my teenager, like mobile phones. But like, all of this has happened, so we've all been riding that wave.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing in one aspect, but it's really disconnected us from, like, you know, the norm. Like, when I was a kid, we'd be out making, like potions out of the berries on the trees, and we'd be eating the leaves and everything. And because we were just entertaining ourselves, we were down making rafts to go swimming, all this sort of stuff. And then all of these computers and stuff came along, and while it's amazing in one aspect, it's totally disconnected us in another.
Yeah.
So bringing it back to that, like, and the power of healing. And I think we were on this, like, this train, everyone, and I think something dramatic needs to happen to change the momentum. And I think the pandemic did that. It was like a big shock. So whatever about, it's, you know, the physical side of it, illness and that, in terms of just stopping people in their tracks, I think that's why now there's so much awareness about mindfulness, the power of nature, energy work, is because it stopped people in their tracks and forced them to be like, okay, what's going to help in this situation? Mm-hmm. And in most cases, it's just bring it back to basics, going for a walk outside, listening to the birds, like, actually being aware of them, because they've always been there.
Yeah.
But just, like, listen and, like, oh God, they're singing, because they've always been singing, but we were blocking them out, you know? Yeah. And it's things like that. I feed the birds. I'd say my neighbours love me. There's always birds in my garden because I just feed them all the time. I love seeing them coming in. Me and Sean go out and we ground in the grass and we're feeding the birds. And it's just such a lovely thing to do to start the day.
Yeah. And getting outside and bringing the essence of nature. And I was kind of laughing there what we were sharing, because I actually met two people in the last week who have said to me, they're like, I know, and they kind of whisper it. I'm sure you've heard this as well. They're like, I kind of miss COVID, but not the sickness bit, but the bit where we didn't have the things in our life that we didn't want to do because they were gone, and we had the slower pace of life. So I think people listen to this, I know a lot of you are into this. I think, you know, even stepping back and asking you, what do I want? Because, you know, the world is opened up, it's all mad again, but you have choices, do you know, and asking you, and, you know, even making one little small choice this week, you know, to slow down or 5 minutes outside, or, do you know, and like your journey, Margaret, like everything you shared has been so powerful and so insightful, but you made choices. Like, you wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be chatting today without all the choices you made, the choice to see the gift, to keep going, stepping through challenges, to, you know, feeling all the feelings, the good, the bad, everything in between.
Yeah.
But also taking the wisdom and asking yourself, well, what could I learn from this? And then going a step further and being like, well, how can I use my journey now to help others?
Yeah.
And I think that in itself is just amazing. And now you're on another journey with your beautiful little baby. Like,
I know, I can't, and I can't, like, I can believe it, but I can't quite believe it. But, you know, and this is another thing, like divine timing.
Yeah.
Like, I read all the books on divine timing, but I never fully understood it until I had Sean.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, Sean came in the middle of a pandemic, and he brought me back to life. He brought me, you know, a lot of people in my family back to life. And, you know, and I really believe that things are happening when they're meant to happen. And we need to trust that. And now with this little baby coming in, like, they're coming in at the right time as well, when they're meant to. And yeah, it's just all like, it's feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Like you said, making the choices. Like, I worked in corporate banking for donkey's years, like 15 years, really good job, really successful, was on the track to being like a very senior role, great money. I was not getting any joy out of it here. It wasn't what I'm here to do. And it's recognizing that and making those changes as well. And I think people, if I could give people anything, it's just to listen to themselves, not everyone else around them, not their family, even who love them, or their partner who loves them, or their kids. It's to really listen to themselves, because when you lie down in bed at night with your own thoughts, they're just yours. Nobody can make you feel different or think different. You have to make peace with what you're doing with your life. So I tell people just to lean into that and really start, you know, going. If like, I always say to people, hot and cold. What feels hot? What feels cold? Like, having a chat with Kira, that feels good, so I'm going to lean into that. You don't need to know the rest of the steps. You just need to lean into what's feeling good and maybe pull back from what's not feeling so good. And everything else will figure out. The next step will appear when it's meant to, then the next one and the next one. There could be a moment between them. There could be a year between them, but they'll appear when they're meant to.
Yeah. Oh, that's there. Yeah. You're just amazing. But where, I suppose, people listening to this and everything you've shared, and, you know, like, even IVF, to be honest, I have learned so much just even talking to you. So where can people find you if they wanted to connect with you or work with you? Or
So I'm on Instagram and Facebook, Moon Queen Healing, and I have my website, moonqueenhealing.ie. So people can connect there. I like, you know, I'm so open to questions and things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've spoken before about IVF, and we didn't even scratch the surface. There's so much, you know, to IVF as well. And all other things that I work on, but people can link in with me. I'm always happy to I'm always happy to help. I'm always happy to make recommendations. I'm also, you know, if I don't think I'm the best person for someone, I'm such a believer that there is enough. We've such a great community, and I'll recommend someone and like that. I know we have a connection in common. I spoke to a girl that I had done a retreat with about you, and I said, you know, you need to talk to this girl, you know, she'll be able to really do the work with you. So I think that's powerful. So don't be afraid to reach out if anyone is struggling with anything, really. I'm always happy to help.
Yeah, and so important. And if anyone is listening and they know, you know, anyone on an IVF journey, and I think the bit you shared about even friends and how to connect and just to be there and listen, I think that's so powerful. So please share this with whoever you think may need it. But I think there was so much more, you know, even talking about divine time and about finding the lessons, you know, in the hardships. Like, yeah, everyone needs to listen to this. But thank you so, so much. You are just a beautiful soul. And yeah, you're I've no doubt, you know, whatever lays ahead for you is just going to be, you know, whether it's up or down, I think you'll meet it with grace. And yeah,
thank you so much for having me on and allowing me to share part of my story. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you and the work you're doing. I love your podcast, so I really hope people take something from this today, and you know, even if it just resonates with one or two people, it'll be time well spent for both of us, I think.
Yeah. Beforehand, we did a little meditation and we put our intentions out. So I think it'll reach a lot more than one or two people. I think the angels will make sure of that anyway. And yeah, best wishes on your next journey. And I've no doubt we'll probably have to do another podcast now next year or in a few months.
No, God knows what will come up then. But yeah, absolutely, sure. We're open to it all.
Oh, thank you so, so much.